to the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, verse 38. Who was of Nazareth? How God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went through all quarters, doing good and healing all that were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. And then in the first epistle of John, chapter 3, and verse 8. John 3, verse 8. I'll read from halfway through the verse. To this end, the Son of God has been manifested, that he might undo the works of the devil. And then in the epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 11. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the panoply of God, that you may be able to stand against the artifices of the devil. Because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against principalities, against authorities, against the universal lords of this darkness, against spiritual power of wickedness in the heavenlies. For this reason, take to you the panoply of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having accomplished all things, to stand. This verse in Acts 10 is one I've been pondering in connection with what we've been reading in Matthew. Mm-hmm. Particularly these two instances of the feeding of the 5,000, feeding of the 4,000. Matthew, anyway, does not record the Lord teaching the crowds, but he speaks of them particularly as healing them. Can you think of those 3 days that we read about on Lord's Day, this last Lord's Day? 3 days on the mountain. It seems though for all those 3 days he was healing them. They were bringing them to him. How they needed him, didn't they? What a saviour he was to them. And it's attributed to the devil. All these things, I suppose we read, don't we, in the Old Testament, that if Israel sinned, they were more likely to get ill. It was a sign, I suppose, of their unfaithfulness. And maybe that this too was a sign of the state that the people were in, that there were all these who are spoken of here as under the power of the devil. Mm. Not just that they were ill. Mm. It's directly attributed to the devil. And the devil is very active now. He was very active then. But there was one who was greater than the devil, mm-hmm. that was able to bring in healing. It says, doing good. Well, that's all-embracing, isn't it? That's such a simple expression, isn't it? Of the Lord's time here, doing good. Mm-hmm. How many there were doing evil? How many there are at this present time doing evil? But we know one who was doing good. Mm-hmm. He says, doesn't he, at one stage, no one is good but God. Mm-hmm. Well, what an expression of God. God in his person here. God manifested in flesh, doing good. But then there was the resource there for what had been brought in by Satan. Well, I read in John's first epistle here, because it says here that he might undo mm-hmm. the works of the devil. Not just healing all those who were under the power of the devil, but undoing the works of the devil. Think of the power that's involved mm-hmm. in this, undoing his works. Mm-hmm. How many works he must have done, wasn't there? We see it right from the beginning of Scripture. How he deceived the woman. That was all part of his work, and his works have been of that character all the way through. The Lord was undoing them. And I think this must apply particularly to his sufferings, his time on the cross. He annulled him who had the might of death. What a wonderful undoing that was, wasn't it, of the works of the devil. Power of the Lord in going through death and in rising again the third day. Mm. so that that power of the devil has been taken away by Christ. What a wonderful word that is to us in the glad tidings. Mm-hmm. Our brother has spoken about this outline of sound words. We can look through Scripture. We can see the ways of God. We can see what we've been brought into. These wonderful privileges. But it's all as a result of that one who has undone the works of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But now I read in Ephesians, because it speaks here of the artifices of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as we're concerned, it's a struggle. You think of the Lord, it says that he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the devil wasn't able to get through, was he? And we read, don't we, particularly that the last time when he hungered, that the Lord answered him from the Scripture. It's a resource that is vital to us, the Scriptures, as our brother has said. The Lord answered him, "Land, it is written, it is written, it is said." Well, the Scriptures are to be current amongst us as well, not just as history, not just to look at it in the book, but to rehearse it amongst ourselves, it is said. But it's the same devil who tried to penetrate any defences he might, weaknesses he might have been able to find in Christ. He tried all that he could, all his artifices, but he had to leave him. And we're told as well, aren't we, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's something of the character of what was in Christ, which is in every believer by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That it's something that the devil can do nothing with. And we're told that the Spirit is greater than he. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But this struggle, as Paul says, it's not against blood and flesh. So in other words, it's not exactly what we see around us. We see a lot of evil around us in the world, but that's not the struggle he's talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
We do read in Peter of the devil going around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I suppose that may be seen in circumstances, might be seen in things that happen. Think of persecution that happens to believers on the Lord Jesus. It's like the roaring lion that Satan trying to devour persons. But this is something against which Satan is set, and that is what is in the heavenlies. It's what is essentially Paul's doctrine, that outline of sound words. It's what is heavenly. And that is what Satan is against. It's the spiritual powers, spiritual power of wickedness in the heavenlies. All these principalities, authorities, universal laws of this darkness. We see that in the world around us, don't we? Darkness. It's the result of the activity of Satan to keep persons in darkness. But we have the panoply of God, that we're able to take it to us. I think the note says sense is taking up, and I think it says elsewhere that it's you have it put on. It's not that you grab it when you need it, but it's there all the time. God provides it, and the word of God is spoken of a little bit later on, I think, as the sword of the Spirit. You need to be offensive if necessary. That it's not just the protection, but the word of God is living and it's operative, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we can rely on the Spirit to provide a word at any time. But really it was just this thought as to the devil, that he's out to spoil everything. He's out to bring violence if he can, to try to exterminate what is for God. But then there's this subtlety of the artifices which he would try to bring in against the Lord's people, so that they might be robbed of the best and robbed of what is for God. Oh, may God